Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 28th of August, recording at 8:46 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. Asian stock markets mostly quiet and mixed. One of the weaker ones was Hong Kong, reversing gains that it had seen the day before yesterday. Reversing gains that it had seen yesterday. It was down 2.25%. The European markets, however, after a weakish start, because energy prices were rallying in fear of a tropical storm likely to become Hurricane Gustav, had been, as I say, weak in the morning, but then rallied strongly. And there were a couple of factors that contributed to that. And one was that the drawdown of natural gas stocks in the U.S. turned out to be much lower than expected. So natural gas fell back, and then the IEA, the International Energy Agency, said that it would release crude oil from its strategic reserves if Hurricane Gustav caused any problems in the Gulf. Any supply problems, that is. So crude came back down, and it's kind of been an environment, as you know, where crude has been just about everything psychologically in here recently, and everything else is queuing off crude oil, including stock markets moving in the opposite direction, including the U.S. dollar, and also the price of gold, slavishly following crude oil, although gold did manage a bit of a rise in here today, and crude would always be this dominant influence. Obviously, as a matter of fact, I would suggest that its influence is on the wane now, but it's still substantial. Anyway, excuse me, Wall Street, pretty firm in here with 12 minutes to go before the close. The Dow's up 194 points. And what else is going on? I mentioned the precious metals. I mentioned crude. The U.S. dollar was weaker earlier on today, but again then firmed as the price of crude oil came down. And grains and beans a little bit easier. So that's the main story. The industrial metals were also mostly a bit easier. Okay. So what's going on overall? Well, the interesting thing is that some of this stock market action in Europe and the U.S. has turned reasonably steady. In other words, we had seen a rollover following highs in the early to mid part of August. And those markets have steadied to at least establish little trading ranges. And the UK FTSE 100 index has actually broken up above its earlier August highs. So an upside breakout opening the door to further gains. It's also above its January and March lows. And those are important lows, as you know, and so we have yet to see a sustained downward break beneath those two levels. Also, the S&P 500 index is also above its January low and coming up towards its August high, as is the Dow. Now, we don't want to get too excited by any of that, because we know that these indices are still in overall downward trends. But by the time those are eventually broken, indices will, of course, be considerably higher. And what we're seeing in here is that where a number of people have been saying that the rally from the mid-July lows was over, and it looked as if that might indeed be the case for a while, these European stock markets and Wall Street, as they say, have steadied, and breaks above the earlier August highs, which so far I believe have only occurred for the UK FTSE, although I haven't looked at all the European indices. But that would give a new lease of life to the oversold technical rally. So that's interesting. Now we need to watch the bank indices overall. They're lagging in the US, but they have steadied here recently. I think to see this stock market rally really gain momentum, we would want to see the banking indices push up through their earlier August highs. So that's interesting, and we can also look at the lows that we saw at the beginning of this week, and most of them were actually last week, that stock markets would now have to decline back beneath those lows to indicate that the rally had aborted and that markets were coming under pressure once again. Now there are all sorts of different factors to single out in here. One of them that helped markets to steady ostensibly, I think oil was the big factor, but the US GDP figures for 2Q came in second quarter, came in stronger than expected. I think it was 3.3%, not a bad growth rate. But of course, we had that big $92 billion tax rebate, and we had not had the psychological shock of the oil price spike and the second round of agricultural price spikes. So I think there will be, I think it'll be much, much more difficult for the U.S. economy to show a gain in the third quarter. It might marginally. And exports were the strong factor in 2Q. But given the oil shock and the food price shock and the higher interest rates in a lot of developing economies, I wouldn't be surprised if they were a little bit, if the export demand from the U.S. didn't tail off a little bit. But that's just economic stuff. It's certainly relevant to the big long-term stories. But stock markets will respond more to monetary factors and to sentiment, certainly in the short and medium term. And it does look as if we're going to see some further technical rally in here. And what about that crude oil? Well, I think it's range bound, as I said, for a while, but that I do expect it to eventually go back down through that 110 level, which has been the floor recently. And I wouldn't be surprised to see it go under 100 for a while. And I think that would be positive for global stock markets. And then a lot of things that were supposed to go bump in the night didn't, and I've mentioned these yesterday and I'm mentioning them again today. We did not get a dollar crisis. The dollar has been quite firm, including today in recovering from some earlier losses. And we did not get a spike in long-dated government bond yields. Instead, those have been trending down quite smartly in here. People will say, well, that reflects recession or deflation fears, and that's absolutely right. But the lower long-dated government bond yields go, the more attractive that makes equity yields look by comparison. So again, it's not all doom and gloom out there. The bigger worries, obviously, are the ongoing credit crisis and the write-offs, and I expect this to rumble on through most of next year, if not beyond. But what we also know is that sovereign wealth funds have been pumping in capital, and that has been helping the banks to maintain some of those capital adequacy ratios. I do think the bailout fund, whatever it's called, FDIC, I think, will have to borrow from the Treasury, but that's widely expected. The borrow from the Treasury to pay back depositors of failed banks. There will be more bank failures in the U.S. and also in Europe, I'm sure, but hopefully they're mostly small. But this is a known story. It's going to go on for a while, and it'll produce a few more surprises. But again, I emphasize, this is not a total unmitigated disaster here by any means. And stock markets are leading indicators. They will respond favorably to any hint that inflation is going to be lower. And I do think inflation 6 months from now will be looking a little bit lower. And that's reasonably favorable because that would perhaps very important. It would help central banks to curb their inflation-fighting rhetoric and pay a little bit more attention to GDP growth. So it looks as if the Wall Street leash effect might just get a second wind. That was not looking very likely last week, although it had not broken down again. The China leash effect is still negative, but China's a pretty overstretched market on the downside, as you know. What else to mention here? This US dollar, since it's maintaining the breakouts, it has lost upward momentum. The dollar's rally has lost upward momentum, but as long as it doesn't fall back into those previous trading ranges, then one must give the upside the benefit of the doubt. I don't think the fundamentals support a major recovery, as you know, but my opinions and views really ought to always be secondary to the technical action that we actually see. Now, the Canadian dollar, which was the US bottomed against Canadian dollar before it bottomed against a number of other currencies, and the CAD, which most people watch, did dip back down to that 104 level, but it didn't go down through it. That was the breakout point on the upside, incidentally, and it would have to fall back into that range to indicate an upside failure. And I think that's pretty much it in terms of developments overall, though Wall Street looks like it'll be going out near the highs of the day, currently up 206 points on the Dow. Now, tomorrow I'm going to be in and out early because I have other unavoidable commitments. So the audio will be up really before noon, and I'll have a shorter output in terms of comment of the day. I mentioned that before, but we'll be back to normal service on Monday. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.